Well, Dr. Arnotzi, we talked with you several days ago about kind of what's going on at First Health Moore Regional Hospital, infectious disease being your specialty, of course. How have things changed? What is our status? What should people know?
Well, so we've definitely moved ahead in our phase of the epidemic. So I think when we last talked, we were still in a very early phase of the epidemic as far as our local community. We certainly were watching Washington and New York and other parts of the country, but we hadn't seen any community spread at that point. We hadn't seen a lot of cases in our community. And now we've kind of moved into the next phase where we are seeing cases that are what we call community spread, meaning that they have COVID-19 and they got it somewhere around here, and we don't know exactly how they got it. And that always makes it a little bit more nerve-wracking for us to know that it's in the community, and that usually means that more cases are coming as well. Our hospital has certainly ramped up what we're doing as far as testing, isolation, our evaluation of these patients. So we've been doing a lot within our system of responding to this threat.
Do we have a number of how many cases we have here in Moore County?
So as of last night, we had 8 cases total in Moore County. So there's ongoing testing, and we continue to have, unfortunately, in our area, we have quite a delay between when the test is done and when we get the results back. And that's honestly a problem in a lot of areas of the United States. The testing rollout has had issues with it. And so everywhere is trying to get rapid testing. We're trying to get rapid turnaround of testing. But because of the limit of who can do testing and how many tests they have and how many tests are available, a lot of these places have a long turnaround. So we have tests that come back within 3 days, but tests that don't come back for over a week, which has really been hard. But as of yesterday, our case number for Moore County was 8 cases that were confirmed positive.
Dr. Arnotzi, the president said last night that we could see upwards, worst case scenario, over 200,000 deaths. What makes this virus so deadly?
So this virus, what makes it so deadly is the way that it infects the lungs in a subset of people. So the vast majority of people who get this virus will actually have a mild illness that they could stay home, isolate, and eventually their body, they would just get better. They wouldn't need the hospital, they wouldn't need oxygen, it would just get better. But a subset of patients, which can be anywhere from 2 to 7%, depending on the numbers you look at, will become very ill and will require hospitalization and support with a ventilator. So they'll have to go on a breathing machine to help support their breathing as their lungs are so inflamed. And that's the worry. The worry is how infectious this virus is and how quickly people get it. Because we're a whole population that's never encountered this virus, everyone is susceptible. So with influenza, we'll often see waves of influenza, but it's generally never so much at once that it overwhelms the healthcare system. With COVID-19, we see that the entire population is susceptible. So if we're not doing our social distancing and isolation, if we're not trying to reduce the spread in these other ways, you can see widespread infection very, very quickly. And then overwhelm of the healthcare system, just because that people, the subset who do get sick, they all get sick at once.
And what are we doing on a local level to prepare for this to spread quickly among residents here in Moore County?
Well, the first thing we're doing is, of course, trying to prevent that from happening. And so that's, the closing schools, the social distancing, the canceling the large events, the discouraging people from doing a lot of in-person interaction, because that's the first way that we really try to reduce the number of people who will become infected. Because this virus doesn't spread, it just doesn't spread by itself. People spread it. It's spread from one person who's infected contacting someone who's not infected. So the first thing we do is the preventative stuff, which is what the whole country is doing with the social distancing and closing schools and shutting down things. And then the next thing that Moore County is doing, and First Health in general as a system, is trying to prepare and try to prepare to try to not see that overwhelm that we've seen in other healthcare systems. So we have staged planning for our whole system of what we're going to do if if we have, you know, right now we have our designated units, we have people to staff them, we have equipment for it, and we are not at a stage of surge right now. We are able to take care of everyone who's sick that we have. And then we also have kind of stop gaps in place of, well, if we get over a certain amount, what would we do next? And where would we, you know, recruit additional people to help, or where would we get additional equipment to help? And so we have a pretty comprehensive staged plan for all the possibilities with this infection.
And I've seen mixed things. You should wear a mask, you shouldn't wear a mask, and now I'm seeing again that even if you're healthy, a mask will help stop the spread. Can you shed some light on that?
This is a really great question, and this is something that has continued to change throughout this whole epidemic, this whole pandemic. So originally, in general, we know that most people get this infection because of what's called droplet spread, and that's where someone who's infected coughs or sneezes or talks, and some of those droplets leave their mouth and then land on the person who is getting infected, or land on something that person is getting infected touches. And then that person who's susceptible touches their face. They touch their mouth, they rub their eyes, they pick their nose, and then the droplets get inside and they get infected. So back when we didn't have a lot of community spread, we said, well, don't wear a mask, because generally if you just wear a mask when we're not having a lot of cases, it just means you're going to touch your face more. Because if you're wearing a mask, you're more likely to adjust it. You're more likely to touch it. It's a constant thing that reminds you that something's on your face, and it usually makes people touch their face more. But because we have seen that there's some significant number of people who get this infection and have either very, very mild symptoms or no symptoms at all, the idea that when you're in a setting of more cases and more cases in the community who may not even know they're sick, if everybody started wearing a mask, then they would have fewer times where their droplets would be getting out. Right. And so it's not so much of, oh, everybody wear a mask because it's going to protect you. It's more of that, well, you might have it and not even know it. Maybe wearing a mask all the time would reduce the amount of these infectious droplets getting out. Mm-hmm. And it's also that's controversial. And so, you know, different systems are doing different things. And it also depends on where you are, where your community is in the phase of your epidemic. So right now up in Boston, where they've got widespread community spread, they have lots of cases, they've asked everyone working in their hospitals to wear masks. But in other places, that's really not been clear. And even for our own system, where we're trying to make sure we have enough masks for all of our healthcare workers, originally we weren't sure if we haven't recommended every single person working in our hospital to wear a mask. We have considered anybody, we want everybody who comes in and who's coughing definitely to put a mask on to reduce those droplets getting out. But the mask issue, it continues to evolve.
Sure. Dr. Arnotzi, I mean, I guess it is in the scope of any kind of illness. I mean, it affects different people differently, depending on your resistance, your age, and there are other factors that we may not be aware of. But like when you say, you know, it could, people could have symptoms, you know, they're latent, you don't even know you have the virus. And then others, you know, there are affected where they need a ventilator. Is this unusual or is this pretty common?
So needing a ventilator is not that common. This is based on the Chinese data, based on the Italian data, and it becomes more likely as people get older. But there are people, and there are cases of even younger people, and I mean generally younger adults, who still require intensive care and still need that ventilator. Because the spectrum of this disease, it can be asymptomatic, it can be mild illness, or it can make people extremely sick. And we know that older people are much more likely to have the severe illness, but we do see, even in the younger adult population, small numbers of people needing that intensive care, and people can have overwhelming infection, even at a younger age.
Dr. Arnotzi, one of the things that my friends and I will do is everybody will bring their own lawn chair and they'll grab their wine glass and their own bottle of wine, and we will sit outside, maybe in a large driveway, more than 10 feet apart, social distancing. No one goes into the person who's hosting's home. But yeah. I just read recently that that's not even considered social distancing.
I don't know. I feel like that's something that also is evolving. That's a physical distancing. And we, a lot of people in public health have now kind of regretted the way that this was branded as social distancing, because really we don't want people to socially isolate. We want you to continue to reach out to your loved ones and connect, and especially with everything that's going on, and it's scary. And we, for our mental health, we need connection and support. But for but physical distancing, which is staying more than 6 feet away from other people, I've read those articles too that talk about the socially distant get-togethers where you come to an open field and there's sunlight, and you know we know that there's infectivity is probably a little bit less when we're outside and when there's sunlight, and you're 10 feet away from each other, but is it enough? And we don't actually know.
Okay.
So I can't tell you yes that's a good idea or no that's a bad idea. We don't really know, but we do want to stress that we've been saying social distancing, meaning cancel the parties, don't go to the concert with 50,000 people, don't.
Right.
But really, we don't want to completely socially distance ourselves during this difficult time. We want to continue to reach out and connect and be there for each other and show support for each other. But right now, that means that doing it in a way that is not physical, but we can use electronics. We can use, like I said, the kind of being far away from each other, but still showing some solidarity and some support.
Yeah. You are wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for the lawn get-togethers.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's something that we look forward to when we leave the kids at home, because the kids, my teenagers just don't get that they can't do TikToks with their friends and post Instagram photos.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely, a big group of people with their arms around each other taking a picture. That's not what we want.
Sure.
We don't want that.
Yeah.
Dr. Arnotzi, thank you so much from First Health Moore Regional Hospital. We really appreciate your input and your time that you carve out for us to get the community updated on what's happening locally when it comes to COVID-19 and just systemic health in general, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Y'all stay safe.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.